This is Mark Steiner, and welcome to the countdown to the Annapolis Summit. On January the 8th, on the opening day of the Maryland General Assembly, we convene the 11th Annual Annapolis Summit, where I'll interview the Governor, Speaker of the House, and President of the Senate. And you can be part of that and ask your questions of our top elected officials by purchasing tickets. Call Claire Sheehan at 443-524-8101 or claire.sheehan, S-H-E-E-S-H-A-N, at thedailyrecord.com. Now, our print partners are The Daily Record, and we together will bring you weekly articles and discussions of the major issues that will face this General Assembly session starting in January. As we count down to the Annapolis Summit, today we're going to discuss the bill called the Storm Water Management Watershed Protection and Restoration Program, or as it's become popularly known, especially by those who oppose it, the rain tax. It's a bill to tax impervious services in the largest counties in Baltimore City, the most populous counties, to deal with the issue of nitrogen and phosphorus from suburban and urban areas, as people are arguing about how it should be done in more rural areas. And we are joined today by Delegate Maggie McIntosh from Baltimore City, represents the 43rd Legislative District. She's also chair of the House Environmental Matters Committee, and Harford County Executive David Craig, who's in his second term as Harford County Executive. Before that, he was mayor of Havity Grace and elected to the Maryland House of Delegates and State Senate, and is, of course, now running to become the Republican candidate for governor in this coming election. And Delegate McIntosh and Executive Craig, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Pleasure to be
Thank
here.
Thank you.
So let me just take a quick step back. Maggie McIntosh, if you would just talk for a moment from your perspective, why this bill was necessary and what it really means. And then I'm going to hear David Craig's analysis of that as well.
Sure. Well, why the bill was necessary was actually it's a longer story than you would like, but it goes back to actually the Ronald Reagan era, where he actually initiated the stormwater management program and talked about the fact that, and he mentioned in his State of the Union speech to the Chesapeake Bay and how we needed to be paying more attention to stormwater and stormwater runoff. But we in Maryland began to take this more seriously actually in 2000, where we had the stormwater design and we updated our environmental site design requirements and approved new regulations for environmental site design for buildings in Maryland. But it is true that in 2010, we submitted as a state and each county to the federal government what has now become known as our TMDL, which is total maximum daily load that we can, kind of like our appetite for how much pollution can run into the bay and our tributaries. And in 2010, 2011, there was a uniform stormwater fee bill that was passed in the legislature. Why? Because it's a federal mandate. Because the federal government has actually told Maryland and the six other counties in the Chesapeake Bay watershed.
States, you mean?
States.
Six
I'm sorry.
States. Right.
That we have to reduce the nitrogen phosphorus running off. And what is that? You know, in layman's terms, well, if you have rain that comes down and hits the pavement, goes into our storm waters, or overflows in our storm waters, what goes into the streams and the rivers and tributaries, but, you know, oil and grease and feces and raw sewage and so on and so forth. And it basically said you got to, you know, figure out ways to reduce this runoff. And so this stormwater program, which we asked the 10 largest counties who are applying right now for an MS4 permit, which is a permit from the federal government. We asked them to to pay their fair share, maintenance of effort, if you will, like they do with the schools, in meeting the stormwater goals.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, which, by the way, are decades, you know, have been ignored for decades. I mean, we have a lot of catch-up to do. And so that's why the bill came about. How did it come about, 10 counties, and letting counties, set the fees? In all honesty, MACO opposed the bill for two or three years in a row. But when We reduced it to just the MS4 permit counties, meaning that we as a state were not adding any new regulations onto them. They have to fulfill their obligations in stormwater to get this permit. And we gave the counties full control over setting the fee, full control. They withdrew their opposition. So that's how the bill kind of got formulated. Of course, we wanted to, and we built in hardship issues. We built in, hopefully, every county would provide some kind of incentives for people to actually, you know, get rid of any impervious surface or do things in which they can get a discount. As an example, Baltimore City, when the city council did their stormwater fee, religious organizations are discounted by 85%. That's an example of some of the kinds of discounts. But I think we have lost track of the fact that this is a federal mandate, and it's a federal mandate that asks us to address flooding and stormwater. Stormwater, which carries heavy pollutants into our rivers, our streams, and our Chesapeake Bay.
So then,
and let me just say, as we are having this debate today, the Gunpowder Falls River that runs through Baltimore County is just recovering from an 80,000 human waste spill from a storm that came through last week. But that's the kind of thing that I think people need to refocus their attention on.
So, David Craig, why is there opposition to this from so many county executives, Anne Arundel County, York County, Carroll County, Frederick County? What's at the heart of the opposition?
I can go back to 2010 also when I was the president of MACO and we approved that we were in opposition to it. After I left as president, then it sort of began to change a little bit. I was also president of MML, so I've been a mayor, been a county executive. I've always been opposed to mandates that come down from the state government, and I believe that with the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, the state should do the same with the federal government, say, I'm sorry, you can't shove these mandates on us, especially if they're not equal and if they're inconsistent and you're not requiring and the other states are not fulfilling regulations, that your numbers are unproven, that you haven't proven that these TMDLs are existing. And then it goes back to the whole idea of the impervious surface. If it is what runs off the impervious surface, I'll use my house as an example. If rain falls on my house and there's something on the roof, I didn't put it on the roof. That is air pollution. It should be about air pollution issues. It is not just about the rain coming down, because that rain hits my lawn also. So whatever's coming down is coming down. And if it's coming off my roof, it does go through the impervious surface before it goes anywhere. It goes through my lawn before it gets anywhere. Now, another aspect has to do with the fact that there have been so many rules and regulations and laws that have taken place over probably the last 20 to 25 years since Ronald Reagan was president, particularly the new stormwater environmental design regulations. So environmental issues have to be proven. So you don't institute a new rule or regulation and then 3 or 4 or 5 years later change it and then say, well, now we're going in this direction. And that can go back to ENR and BNR. I was mayor of Havre de Grace when wastewater treatment plants were told, you now have to make these improvements to your wastewater treatment plan. And that literally, as the mayor of Havre de Grace, 2 weeks after we had instituted it and got it done and paid almost $9 million for it, they came back and said, now your wastewater treatment plant's no longer qualified because we have the new BNR program. And that was a $47 million input that we had to do. So changing the rules and regulations is like changing the rules of a baseball game or a football game in the second half. But that's not the appropriate way to do it. And I think there could have been better ways to have done this through pilot programs, through showing that things were correct. And to go back to what the delegate said about the gunpowder, I can tell you that here's some inconsistencies too. You have Baltimore County, Hartford, Cecil. Let's just look at that area. Baltimore and Hartford share gunpowder. They have one set of regulations. We have a separate set. But it should be about the same tributary. Now I share Susquehanna River tributary with Cecil. They have no rules and regulations. So it's kind of like saying, yeah, you have a swimming pool in the backyard and you share it with your neighbor and you have to clean it up, but the neighbor doesn't, or the neighbor has different rules and regulations. If it should not have been about counties. It should have been about tributaries if you're truly interested in cleaning up the environment, because every tributary is different in some ways. You have different types of farms. You have different kinds of rural development or urban development. So it would have been better to have done it in a different way like that with a pilot program.
Is there an argument between the people who are for or oppose what people are calling the rain tax? Is there a discussion about whether or not nitrogen and phosphorus does run off from impervious surfaces, does run off of roofs of public buildings and our homes and apartment buildings and the rest, and pollute our waterways, which pollutes the bay, which the gunpowder then pollutes the bay? I mean, is there an argument that before we even talk about what should happen, is there an argument about that occurs? That's in fact real.
You want me to go first? I can go if you want, or Delicate can go first.
Go ahead and I'll respond.
Okay. I would say yes, as we put. See, we had public hearing. I know there were public hearings at the state level, but that was before bills were passed and they were different. I can tell you that you know, people appeared at our public hearing and said, look, you can, you know, we are a member of a certain church and we have a certain school, and you're putting this tax on us. We're not exempt. And I know there's issues about, you know, churches being exempt anyway from taxes, but, you know, you're not putting that tax on a public school. I had a situation where somebody left out the word if. I had said, you know, if you look at it's the biggest property owner and the biggest amount of impervious surface, why is Aberdeen Proving Ground exempt? Because then they're doing it. You know, why did the federal government exempt themselves from things? I didn't say Aberdeen Proving Ground was the biggest polluter. I just said, if these are your criteria, that's not, you know, the fair and adequate thing to do for that particular watershed. So, yeah, that is an issue from individual citizens. And I can tell you, you know, we had spoken at we have a company that's called Boyle Buick. They sell Buicks in Harford County, but everywhere. And if you looked at the way our rules and regulations were put in, it was going to cost them about $3,000 a year on their impervious surfaces. But if you looked at Anne Arundel County, it was going to be double that. And if you looked at Baltimore City, it was going to be four times that. So that then makes different counties competitive and kind of undermines things. And then you have the issue with we had this internally in Harford County because we have three municipalities which were exempt from the rules and regulations. So I had people that lived in the northern part of the county saying, why are you exempting Harry Grace and Aberdeen and Bel Air? It's like, well, they're exempt.
Well, okay.
Here's the crux. There's two things I want to respond to, if I might. First of all, if it was about tributaries instead of counties, you know, counties versus tributaries, the truth of the matter is this is matched up to the requirements under the federal MS4 permits that counties are going through right now. So, in fact, it is tailored. Each county's requirements under the federal MS4 permit, you know, is tailored for that county. It is tailored for that county. So that Frederick County's requirements are very different than Baltimore City's or Baltimore County's or Harford. And the other piece that I think people don't realize is these MS4 permits are needed for the counties to continue to develop and build and grow. I mean, if they don't, in fact, achieve these requirements, there is some notion that development and growth could slow in these counties because stormwater and the treatment of stormwater is integral to development. Secondly, let me just say this. I would love to see MACO, the Maryland Association of Counties, now come back to the legislature and say, we didn't mean what we said 4 years ago. We want you, state government, to set and control the fees in our county and who gets what and how much discounted. They're never going to do that. And I would further, you know, Mark, you know the city very well. You know that it's one thing for a county like, let's say, Harford County, since Mr. Craig is from Harford County, to say, you know, maybe give a pass to nonprofits, you know, or to really discount them deeply. But you know, in the city, 33% of our landmass, 33% of our landmass and our land is owned by, you know, nonprofits. So 33% of the runoff in the stormwater system in our city is on top of or underneath nonprofit structures, and we need to have some participation. We did go the extra mile for religious organizations, and by the way, one of the things that nobody's mentioned is that in the law, nonprofits can apply for some of this money that is collected to help alleviate any runoff on their property, therefore diminishing how much of a fee that they would have to pay. One of the categories is to help nonprofits, including churches, be able to alleviate any runoff issues on their property. That is not true of homeowners. I can't apply for a grant, but my local church or nonprofit can.
But the question is there, was it a mistake from the beginning with this? Are we calling it a fee when in reality it's a tax? If taxes are defined as something that goes to the general good and fees are something very specific, this is really a general, and maybe it was a political decision to call it a tax, not a fee. But
it's called a fee in the legislation.
Right.
Right.
But it's really a tax.
I don't see that at all. But, you know, that's a debate that, you know, you and I can have. I think it is a fee, and it's a fee in most counties. They've set it on impervious surface. And by the way, you know, speaking of, you know, sharing this load, I think it's Montgomery County, or a pilot. Maybe we should have piloted this. Montgomery County has had this fee in place for many years. And if you want to look around the state and find good examples of great pilot programs that were run before we instituted this fee, go look at Salisbury or Berlin or the city of Annapolis or a number of municipalities that establish stormwater fees and establish stormwater programs to deal with flooding, to deal with the overflows of stormwater into the sewage and therefore raw sewage running into their river or the tributaries near their towns. But I can hold up 4 or 5 incredible models that were piloted in this state long before we looked at passing this on and tying it to MS4 permits.
So let me ask a question, County Executive Greg. I mean, if before I get to the political question to kind of close out our conversation, is there any question here that I was trying to ask earlier that something like this is needed from the urban and suburban areas of our state, like where, you know, we've just put off the new nitrogen law for phosphorus law for runoff from farms, and that's caused a controversy. We did a show about that the other day. But now we're looking at our urban suburban areas that they does contribute to the pollution of the bay. Is there an argument that it doesn't, that we should not be addressing this on some level?
There's not an argument that it's that, but my argument is if it's coming from the air, it has not, it's not really the water that brings it down. Eventually, it is going to come down.
Well, who should get taxed on it then? If not,
well, like an air tax instead of a rain tax, right? Yeah, you know. But here's the other situation: anybody that knows the environment of the Chesapeake Bay knows that 50% of that water, 50% of the water does come from Pennsylvania, from the Susquehanna River, Pennsylvania, and New York. And everybody says they're doing something, but I live 1,000 feet from that, and I see it coming down all the time. So that has not resolved that particular solution. But here's another thing. Let's go to the person that owns, and I do say it is a tax, because a fee is you get something, and you personally get something in return. You buy water, you pay a fee, you get water. You know, that's what you get for it. This is not anything you get. But
in this case,
if you look at the
water.
New rules and regulations that have come in, the houses that have been built in Harford County for the past 10 years have had to follow all these new rules and regulations, which means technically they're not causing this problem. They do have that new environmental site design. They do have reforestation. They're in Haverty Grace. They do have that critical area tax that they've had for over 20 years. They do have a buffer. They do have the ENR. We do have the septic rules in the tiers. We do have the water source protection areas in Harford County if you're building and you have a well. All those rules and regulations have impacted the cost. So when people talk about affordable housing, those things have driven up the fees of a new house. And they've fulfilled these regulations about what an impervious surface does, but they're getting taxed for it. So it's not just saying it's okay to do this for these nonprofits or for churches or things like that. Any new home in Harford County that's been built there in the last 15 years, you know, undergoes all these new rules and regulations, but in a sense they're being punished for it. That's not a fair way to have done it either, I don't believe.
Well, if I may respond,
go ahead, Maggie.
Again, the law that we put in place and that we passed gave counties the flexibility, if they wanted to in fact reward those new houses and those new subdivisions that were built with a new site design and that have, in fact, incorporated in their design non-runoff or to actually reduce the runoff. I mean, there can't, and in fact, I think that where I hope this debate someday goes is to look at really more towards how do we help educate churches and nonprofits and homeowners and new developers to develop in such a way that we actually end runoff. I will give you two great examples. Go across the river to on the Anacostia side to Washington, D.C., where you see cranes up and building going on all across that area. Every one of those new buildings going up has the new stormwater site designs and captures all of the storm water. And you go around that area, and you'll see fountains and little man-made streams and all of this. It's the stormwater. It is the rainwater that they have captured, and they're not allowing it to go into the Anacostia. The same can be said for many projects here in Maryland. And I think that our goal should be to recognize we have some catching up to do and then recognize that we want to incentivize doing the right thing. And, Mark, you asked the question, do people really believe this is the problem? Not until it affects them, until the gunpowder runs past their house, or not until they go down to the Inner Harbor and see the trash and debris or get pulled out of the mud. I thought that was a nice way of putting it, down in Back River, as somebody did yesterday. But anyway, my point being that it is a problem, and it's a horrible problem that I think that our urban areas need to address. I think the agricultural community has been asked to address a lot. And this is something that we finally turned to, unfortunately, the most expensive part of the state to address these problems, and that is our urban areas. It's much more expensive to address runoff in the urban areas than it is in our farmers.
So what is it?
Well, it's good you mentioned the Anacostia River, since it's one of the 10th worst polluted rivers in the nation, mm-hmm. and the fact that most of that comes from the naval base that was down there and what happened for years, and it's going to take a century for that to actually clean up anything that happened down there. But it's also good to read articles about how we want to end poultry industries on the Eastern Shore, because some people, when they write their articles, not you, but other people, say, you know, they're the biggest polluter and we need to change that. So we aren't, you know, that doesn't get left off the table. And then when the septic bill went in, it was, all septic systems are the biggest polluter. And then 20 years ago when I was mayor and it was the wastewater treatment plant, that was the biggest polluter. So it's whoever is writing the article in the headline, that's the biggest polluter. So it varies from stormwater systems. So it bounces all around.
If you look at the Chesapeake Bay Agreement, that this state has signed over the last couple of decades, you will see incrementally, there has been a roadmap towards getting us to cleaner water, and you will see that, yeah, we picked the low-hanging fruit first, the low-hanging fruit being nitrogen or best management practices for farmers. Cover crop. Cover crop is our least expensive best management practice that we have. But as we move on to meet our goals that we have agreed to as a state and a compact, those practices we had to put in place got more and more expensive. But the truth of the matter is the health of the bay is better. The health of the bay is going to be looking a lot better as our wastewater treatment plants all get cleaned up. And the one trajectory that is not working in our favor is stormwater and septic. And we hope that we have done something to correct that in the last couple of years.
Well, finally, let me just say, ask very quickly. What happens with this bill as it's passed, and if the counties don't enforce it, then what good has it done? Should we have just maybe had a bill, if you believe in the bill, to add a bill that said, this is going to be the tax, this is what it's going to cost, this is what we're doing per acre, per square roof, or whatever that would be, because if counties are in revolt saying we're not going to allow this to happen in our counties, then it becomes an ineffective law, right?
Well, it seems so today, but they're also in the process of negotiating with the federal government for their MS4 permit. So why don't we wait and see what the federal government says about their MS4 permit if they don't meet the requirements under stormwater. Here's what will happen.
And we've been told that ours is moving forward, and even though we've been told by the state that we could be sued, it's another situation. I can say that when we say it's only 10 counties, I've seen this before in legislation in a variety of ways. It's the nose of the camel under the tent, and eventually it's going to be required of the rural counties and eventually the big municipalities and then the small municipalities. So eventually it will extend to them. And also there was a lack of flexibility in the fact that it was based on a bottom dollar amount that we needed to raise a certain amount of money to take care of this TMDL issue, but there was no recommendation on which programs were the best to actually resolve that issue. That was taken to different state departments when I talked to them and said, what could you prove would be the best way for us to do this? And they said basically they couldn't. We could not go and say we're going to have $30 million worth of stream restoration project. And they said that's fine, that there was no way that they could come up and say you're going to solve this, coming up with a solution.
Well, I want to thank you both. This has been really enlightening.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Harford County Executive David Craig and Delegate Maggie McIntosh, Chair of House Environmental Matters Committee. And, of course, David Craig is also running for governor. Thank you both so much. We have to take a very brief break, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll listen to a panel I moderated last week at Everyman Theater about their latest play, Red, which is about the painter Mark Rothko and his assistant.